When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt, the Bud Knight.
And I am Sir Ezra, the Watchful, friends. Welcome to episode 2, House of the Dragon, baby.
Season 2, episode 2. Woo, a big one, Ez.
Dude, I can barely breathe because I am so fired up. I literally just got done watching the episode. It's huge. This episode was huge. It's freaking sick.
72 minutes long.
Yeah, thank God. They needed every single minute. It was great. It was great.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, you know. So, yeah, guys, Jimmy is out this week, by the way. For anybody that was watching his channel, he had Murphy Napier. So shout out to her. She was over at his house. They were doing a live stream over there. So Jimmy was out, and Sir Matt just had to call the banners. The war is heating up. The prince has died.
Yeah.
In the castle.
Dude.
We got to rally the troops, rally the banners.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And Sir Ezra will always answer the call, friends. Always answer the call. Mm-hmm. Because this is a one. And I honestly can feel it in my bones. Like, this episode, I got emotionally into, dude. So I'm so glad it was this one. Last one, you know, I know you and Jimmy talked last week about that episode, great episode, by the way, that you guys did covering that. But this one's a banger. This is going to be
this is a banger. This to me felt like prime season 3, season 4 of Game of Thrones. I mean, it just felt like it would just fit right in there. You know, people have said, I watch all the reviews of everything talking about House of the Dragon. People describe it as a slow burn. I'm like, where is the slow? I am on the edge of my seat every minute of this thing. Yep. And I actually thought there was going to be way more in it. But we did get one pretty mega moment, by the way, in the episode that's from the book. And this is actually one moment, you know, that's pretty cool because it's one of those things that where you have direct, like the direct sources competing. And that's like Mushroom saying, here's how it actually went down. And you have the Maesters, right? And that was the Cargills.
Yeah,
fight the battle of the twin brothers. I didn't really think it was going to be this soon. I thought maybe we were going to have them for like another episode or so. So I felt like pacing wise, though, I think it was the right decision to have that here to give this episode some action. Wow, I was like blown away by how cool it was. Now, in the books, it's one of those things where, you know, because it's two twin brothers of the Kingsguard fighting, right? They like in the books, it talks about some songs say that the battle lasted over an hour with nobody being able to interfere because they didn't know who was who. So they did pull a little bit of that in, which was pretty cool. But then there's also like, Mushroom, right? Who's the court jester who discredits a lot of the accounts in Fire and Blood in the World of Ice and Fire. Says, actually, you know, the fight was only a couple minutes, and then actually he ends up living for a couple days longer and then dies. But I would think obviously they didn't need to include any of that. So that was definitely a big episode. But as I would just say, initial thoughts, man, what are you thinking?
Well, first of all, I gotta say that I said this to you, like if anybody wants I like a lesson on how you go and put awesome, badass female characters, messaging, themes, all that good stuff into a show, and even have some societal sort of stuff going on too, some messaging. This is how you freaking do it. This is literally how it is. It's textbook. It is amazing. It's drama. It's entertainment. it's everything. It is like the contrast between Dragonstone, King's Landing, the way they do that visually has been stunning for, well, stunning all last season, still stunning now. But this ebb and flow, this back and forth sort of blow for blow between the most dysfunctional family in history, the Targaryens, this is freaking nuts. So for me, it's everything. This is everything that, like you were saying, that Game of Thrones was at its height, at its peak, and it's back. And it's such, it, we're building to some major moments. Like every episode, I'm wondering, what are they going to do? You know, knowing the book and knowing sort of some of the things that they could pull from and where they, what's going to happen. I was sitting on the couch like, this could, how fast are they going to go? And then you hear about the twist. There's so many things that they could pull every episode. It's so dramatic. It's just, it's awesome. It's freaking awesome, dude. Yeah. And I loved every minute of it. And it wasn't too long. I mean, there's nothing like
it was 72 minutes long, but I was like, when the ending hit, I was like, oh,
yep,
that's it. Like, that's the end of the episode. I thought there was more because I knew that it was a longer episode, but I was so gripped by it that I was just like, wow. So, yeah, I mean, for me, last week I gave 4 out of 5 stars.
Okay.
I don't know, man. This is gonna be like 4.5 stars for me. I mean, there wasn't anything that was, the only thing I could knock this episode for in terms of like the grand scale of Game of Thrones, right? Is like there wasn't a Jon Snow getting crowned King of the North or like Tyrion's trial. I mean, those are like the 5-star episodes, you know. King Viserys's walk, but that's 5-star.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I mean, there wasn't anything like that, and it's just because the scale is graded so high. Otherwise, right. I mean, this would be like a 5. I mean, I thought the episode was amazing.
Right.
Yeah. So I have a ton of notes, and we'll kind of go through these, right? And start hammering things on, because wow, just like this episode just went in so many different directions. First and foremost, the one thing I really want to praise the show on, and I think I saw some of the interviews last week, is the way they're doing Aegon II. Because in the books, we don't really get that much information on Aegon II, right? Because it's really so much more black focused and so much more focused on Alicent than it is like Aegon. So like, we don't really honestly actually know a ton about his personality and stuff. I mean, in the books, he actually looks like a tank. And so they have a smaller sort of thing here. And I really appreciate what the actor who plays him said. You know, he said, I don't want to be another Joffrey. You know, I didn't want to go that route of being this sort of like maniacal leader. And so I think that was one of the things I really appreciated last week, where they said, hey, we're going to make him a likable character, right? Yeah. Where he's actually like, maybe we should give these people their sheep back. Like, they came all this way. We should give them their, we need the help of the small folk. And he was getting it. And then Otto was kind of steering him in the direction he ended up steering him in. And so now to see him like actually grieving over his son and making the decisions he's making, like you can, sympathize with the guy. I mean, okay, I get it. I understand what he's doing. I understand why he's making those decisions. And even if he does come across as a little brash or like angry, it's like, put yourself in his shoes. So not like Joffrey, right? Where Joffrey was just like a pure evil dude. And I was actually watching this and I have it in my notes. I might hate Kristen Cole more than Joffrey. Dude.
Straight up. Yes. Yes. Agree.
Because at least Joffrey was who he was, right?
Yeah.
Joffrey was just sort of, you know, he's just an evil guy. And then Ramsay, the same thing, right? You get those villains as they progress. Sure.
Yeah.
And Kristen Cole to me is now starting to feel a little bit like actually somebody who I think is honestly my favorite villain of another series. He's kind of feeling a little bit Umbridge like to me.
Oh, dude.
Dolores Umbridge of Harry Potter, right? What? Because
someone you can hate. You hate him.
Right. You hate him because they sort of act like priestly, right? That's the argument about them. Where, I mean, this guy is breaking all the rules, but then when he acts the way he acts, it's almost like believing. It's not even like Cersei or Tyr, you know, like some of the other players in the Game of Thrones where you can tell they're putting on a show. I mean, he's straight up like, it feels like he's just bipolar. I mean, I don't know, switching back and forth and legitimately believes it.
Yeah, dude, he's guilty as all get out, man. This guy, he's compromised. He's a guy, you rage at the screen. I was raging the whole time. I was like, dude, F you, Sir Christian Cole, dude. Like, you are you are at the core of all this. You, what is wrong with you? And the fact, I think what really just really got to me was Sir Eric when he sends him and he's like, he's calling him out. It's like, dude, what? You're in there.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in there sinning. I mean, absolutely committing sin.
Yeah. And I mean, he's like, I mean, well, and then he sort of then when it, like, to me, it was when he challenged him, when he challenged Sir Eric on his cloak, like, oh, it's your cloak is dirty.
We wouldn't be in this mess if you weren't, you know, getting the Hawktua, you know, spitting that thing from freaking Alice Hightower. I mean, come on, man. I mean, that's the whole reason we're in this situation. And then he calls him out. He's like, where were you?
Yeah.
Exactly. Where were you?
Where we all saw where he was at. Jiminy Christmas. I mean, that's the thing. I never thought that, you know, in reading the book, like you said, they bring these characters to life in such a way. There's so many more little dynamics and stuff, especially with the Aegon stuff. And then now with Sir Criston Cole. And I just, it kind of floors me. I didn't like him when I originally was reading. I was like, this guy's gonna be a problem, but I really don't like him. You know, I mean, I'm sure you guys have already talked about, but going back to like season one with like Rhaenyra and stuff, like, oh, it was a problem because the princess showed up and wanted a you know, a piece or whatever. Right. And now, hey, no worries. It's just,
I mean, this dude's, I mean, I don't know that anyone's ever taken like being turned down more crazy than this guy.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. He's gone off the deep end. And then now, I mean, and again, it's, dude, what the other big thing with this is there's so many of these different little dynamics, because Otto Hightower at the end of this episode, you really see like the old man's out and you see this young, angry blood in there, these two youngsters together. And it's just, it's all going to go to hell. It's everybody should know going forward. That was an awesome episode. But the moments that Matt was talking about earlier where they're 5-star, They're coming. They're going to be next episode and the episode after that. Like, it's all going to just unfold here, you know, go crazy. But yeah, Sir Christian Cole is a freaking nut job. And I hate it.
you can see on both sides, the war sort of slipping out of control on both like Rhaenyra's side. And, you know, even if you want to say Aegon's side at this point, right. Since Alicent's, actually, you can see her grasp of power being a little bit less, but maybe with her, so I'm manipulating Christa Cole and then manipulating Aegon, you know, we'll get to see that side of the whole thing. But yeah, I mean, this episode did back and forth between both sides. It was excellent. So I'm just gonna start going through some notes here and we'll talk kind of moments. So I said, opening scene, I just have pure chaos. Like, you can tell the small folk know something big happened. And then we find out later that it was, oh hey, they, it was the kids, or it was the, They ended up knowing that it was the thing. We got some shots of Christian Cole. He totally, you could see on the look of his face, being like, oh, I messed up.
Yep.
I messed up. Aegon, rightfully upset. And then I wrote down, good God, the score is amazing. This might be the best scored episode of all of Game of Thrones. And I mean, there are some amazing, like even the battle at Winterfell, like the theme when the Night King is coming and Arya's chasing him down, like, and Jon is standing, like, that's one of the coolest themes in all of Game of Thrones, whether you like season 8 or not. But man, this episode, it was just scored amazing. Like, there were so many actually quiet moments where there's no dialogue and the music and the cinematography just took over. And I was like, wow. I mean, I had to take some notes of it.
Yeah, can I hop in on one point? Like the like Helena, when they're doing the whole procession with her child, right? It's like the, like you said, the music underneath that is, there's not a lot. There's a lot of crowd noise and there's all this stuff happening and building around it. And she's freaking out and everything. And I was like, oh my God, this is just, I'm gonna awful tell you, all around.
Straight up. I legitimately, when I saw the stitches on the kid's neck, I was
this show, I'm telling you, does that whole act
as straight up I have in my notes, and I had to look away because I was like, oh God, I don't know. When they get stuck in the mud, I was like, his head's gonna roll off.
I know,
I was like, they're trying to push a thing, and I was like, it would just be the most Game of Thrones thing ever to have this like poor dead kid's head just like roll up, because you saw the stitches. I was like, oh, but thankfully they didn't do it. I was like,
But you know why? Why did you have that anxiety? You had that anxiety because that's the shit they'll do. And it's brilliant because they'll sometimes do it and then sometimes they won't. And so you're like, oh, you got. I mean, either way, it was so freaking dramatic. And I mean, I wrote down in my notes, by the way, at the start of this, just to go ahead and I just said Team Green again. I was like, it makes the pendulum swing back. And you're like, you know what? F you, Blacks. I mean, it's Team Green now, baby.
God. And they do. And I do think they've done a good job with it, with the show so far. I mean, every episode it is. Yeah, it is a pendulum. It swings back and forth. And I think, you know, I think that's one of the best things where I said with the way they're making Aegon likable. And right. I really thought that, you know, he's because in the books, Aegon feels in Fire and Blood and World of Ice and Fire, Aegon feels like an afterthought because the whole deal is Alicent and Rhaenyra and Daemon, you know, because Daemon Targaryen is like George R. R. Martin's favorite character. So he gets a ton of focus and attention in the books, where Aegon actually kind of doesn't. He's really kind of left to the side in the books, and he's just sort of like he's there and things are happening around him, but you never really get a ton of insight on him. So I love the way they're really expanding on his character. Yeah. So Aegon is freaking out, asking everyone what's going on in that council room. And I thought that scene was amazing. And like, again, really good for his character. Where were you, Kristen Cole? He said, a bed. So, I mean, he didn't technically lie. He was in a bed.
It's so, I mean, Chris, it's so with your mother. I mean, like, that's where I was at. I was guarding
forsaking my vows and then later criticizing other Kingsguard members
and getting them killed. By the way, what an asset. Like he sends out, like what a stupid idea. I mean, obviously, it was almost successful. I mean, actually there's a little brilliance to Sir Criston Cole, which makes you hate him because you're like, well, that's actually kind of a good idea, but it's also totally terrible because they're brothers and this is just a terrible situation. But yeah, he's a dude that whole moment when he's going the chaos there at the small council. And Sir Criston's looking like, I mean, what, like the biggest doofus in the world. And then he just starts throwing shade at everybody else. And I just can't stomach him anymore. I mean, that was the problem. If he weren't associated with the Greens, I'd almost be more like pro Green. And as Matt knows, I kind of play devil's advocate and like to, you know, I like to lean Green a little bit. I like Allison. I think she's pretty cool. You know, but anyways, now I can't stand him. I really, as you see it unfold, I really can't stand him. And you know, the thing, you're right, is that Aegon II is literally, we had no clue what, like in season one, it was shocking the stuff that he was up to and who he was and that he wasn't really worthy of being this leader. And dude, it's the same thing that like Otto has done to all of these parents. They make all of their children come to court, step into these roles, go for power, all this stuff. And so it's like, Aegon at some point in the last episode was like, now it's my turn. I can do this. What my father didn't do for me, I will do for my son. I will bring him here to the small council. He will ride on the back of the a Lannister around and pretend, you know, he'll play and have a good time. And they kill his son. Yeah. I mean, I go crazy. He should rage. He should go nuts.
By the way, we've been focused on the Greens. When the Rhaenyra Daemon scene was excellent. I mean, if Emma Darcy does not win an Emmy,
it's so good.
Then it's so good. Right. So that scene just was really the drama between them. The acting was just unbelievable. But when Rhaenyra asks Daemon, like, "What did you say exactly?" He's almost like, "Well, I didn't say kill a kid. Jeez, you know." It's like the way he plays. No, like the look on his face. He's just like, he's like, "It's not like, I mean, you know,
right?" He says, "It's a mistake." Okay, like what do you mean?
It was a mistake. What do you mean?
Messed up. All right.
There was these memes. There are so many memes last week, and like one of them, it was like, you know, it's like Rhaenyra, I want Aemon Targaryen, Daemon, a son for a son, blood and cheese, literally anyone, you know, just like,
it's like literally anyone, just go in there and take somebody out, don't care.
There's another one with like the Pawn Stars guys, and it's like, I want Aemon Targaryen. It's like, best I can do is, you know, like, is like the boy prince.
Well, I mean, and there's so much, like you said, in that scene, though, there was so much tension that we had all, you know, felt as an audience, building up between those characters, and you see it here and there. You saw Daemon grab her last episode and all that kind of stuff, and finally she's like, what the heck's going on, you know, like, what's, I can't trust you anymore, this is nuts, it's gone too far. And Rhaenys later on, when she's laying with Corlys Velaryon, has a really, just to point to this direct moment, says something to the effect of like, you know, I also was somebody who had the crown pass over me, and it's kind of hard to deal with. So, I mean, she almost understands him, I guess, a little bit, even though he's nuts. He's crazy. But also it's like, yeah, what is it that he's not completely crazy, right? He still is just, I don't know. It's like you're trying to figure out what it is that he really wants, you know? And then there's this moment, the setup, by the way, real before I forget, with his daughter, the setup with his daughter, is it Bela or whatever, Valeria? Yeah. Oh my God. Just saying like, almost like, hi, dad, in passing is like, what's going on? I forget sometimes like, oh yeah, he's got these other kids, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. You know, it's actually interesting now that when you were saying that, I was thinking about it and I was like, you actually have here's what you have on the green side. You have Otto and Allison being like, we need to be more cautious, right? Like you're being too aggressive. And then on the other side, you have Damon being like, last season I loved, you know, at the end of it, he's like, they just stole your crown. What are you going to do about it?
Oh,
like, you know, you have Damon being like, you're not aggressive enough.
Yeah.
So it is cool to see like the both sides and the players, you know, and it's just it's like one of these things where it's
But the other thing in that same moment when they're talking about, he's having this argument with Rhaenyra and they're talking about his brother, her father. And he's really, I mean, he has all these grievances with him. He was weak. I was a better ruler. It's this second son mentality that shows up over and over, you know, in Westeros, that's a problem and he can't deal with it. And it's just, he feels like he's the better. It's almost like this idea that the gods, like he should be almost the ordained ruler. Like he should have been the firstborn. Like why is his brother up here just pissing off, not doing, you know, whatever. And he has all of that kind of going on. So he's almost like, you see like a therapy session between those two. He's just getting all these emotions and things out in terms of his brother and his whole life. I don't know. It's a mess. He's a mess, quite frankly, but he's about to turn things around here. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be great seeing like the path that they go forward with the show. I mean, it's I will say like, I see all these reviews saying this is like this, it's a slow burn, but I'm like on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, just no
watching,
way.
I mean, I'm watching that political maneuvering. I mean, yes, we haven't really seen like dragons battling dragons. We know that's coming in like episode 4 because they said it's like it was as big of a production as the Battle of the Bastards is what they said.
Okay. So
like big battle. We know it's coming, right?
Right.
But yeah, I mean, for me, it's like the political drama, boom, the back and forth is just, I loved it. So
yeah.
Let me dive into some other notes here too. Poor Helena, Allison. Oh yeah. This one I want to bring up. Laris, right? Oh. You see Laris, you see Laris walk in and then he finds the rat catcher and it's like, this is going to be bad. So Aegon, right? And this is where things spill over because first of all, I have Otto in this whole deal in like the first scene when Otto is talking, like right once the whole thing breaks down, like that first council meeting, and he's like, "Where were you? Where were you?" Yeah. Otto Hightower. Oh, I felt like he almost felt happy.
Yeah,
his great grandson. Yeah, your great grandson is dead, and he just seemed like, "Oh, look how we can use this."
Yeah, true. True.
What a and it's hard because we never really get much emotion out of him. Like remember back in like episode 1, that tourney, right?
Oh yeah.
The tourney where Damon like cripples his son essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
You still don't even see, you know, I mean, you see him flinch, but it's not like, oh my God, is my son okay? You know, after Damon like, you know, swipes them under in that tourney, right? And injures him. So it's hard, but it's like, dude, your great grandson just died, but he sort of seemed like, hey, look how we can use that. So it's kind of a mix of both bags too, where it's like, does he actually care or is he just that good at like playing the role in the Game of Thrones?
Right. And that's where I think it is. I think he's a mastermind. I think he is caught up in this so much. And he, like, the more he plays, it's an addiction. I mean, really, he's so caught up in it that he's looking for pieces on a chessboard to maneuver. And even when it involves his own children, okay, cool, we have pieces to play with. Actually, one of the ironic things about this whole ordeal is that the pieces to play with will start to kind of disappear over the course of all of this, right? Like, you think you've got a lot of children and this and that to play with, and okay, it's just another maneuver. But at some point, war is coming, like major freaking war, and houses are going to mobilize. Everyone's still pretty stationary and still feeling each other out, testing the boundaries and stuff here, but it's all about to just, you know, go crazy, which I got to say, it seems like Otto Hightower did. And we get this at the end of the episode where he's kind of like, you know, he is worried about the realm. He is sort of playing this game, and he's talked himself into him playing this for the greater good, and it's all about his legacy and Hightower legacy and stuff. I even thought he was going to have a more emotional moment with his daughter Allison at the end, and he's still kind of held back from like, yeah, really. He gives her that one
when she's like, "I've sinned." He's like, "I don't want to hear it.
I don't want to hear it." Yep. Keep it to it's kind of his.
He has way to know.
He does, and it's kind of his way, I think, of saying like, we all almost like not saying. Kind of like we all have our thing, our sin. I don't want to hear about it. It's all, you know, whatever. But that's the most you get from him. You get nothing. And I think as an audience, you always want something more. We're trying to see him feel something, and he just doesn't. He is just kind of cold. So, he's great. The actor who plays him, phenomenal. Yeah. He's doing a great job.
Yeah. Okay. Let's dive. Let me pull up some other things here. Okay. So. Let's talk. Honestly, go back a little bit more to the Damon Rhaenyra thing. I mean, when everyone's looking at it and they're all like, "Oh, well," because everybody suspects it was Rhaenyra because she's the queen, right? And then she just sort of gives Damon a look.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she's like, she knows Damon did it, and then they went to this whole deal. Literally, my notes so many times, I'm just like, Emma Darcy is a acting machine, and it's just like,
absolutely.
Yeah, and then Damon, he couldn't trust you. I couldn't trust you. And then Damon flies off on his dragon. Mm-hmm. So, and then we don't see him for the rest of the episode. And it's kind of like, we don't know, but he'll be featured heavily in the next couple episodes for sure.
Right. And I don't know, and I don't want to get into any, like, you know, spoiler things or whatever, but like, did you notice it? Because it's in the episode, so I think it's fair to talk about the children that she's playing with, Rhaenyra. Like, they're,
Those are her and Damon.
Were they
kids
there last season, though? Did I?
Yes. Remember? Okay. She presents them to. She presents them to Viserys like episode 8. You only see him for like a brief second.
Okay. See, I missed.
Remember?
That.
This is Aegon and this is Viserys.
Okay. Boom. Because I was sitting there.
They both have roles, but we won't. We won't.
Right. No. Exactly. When they were arguing, I was sitting there going like, "Is it?" Because I wasn't sure if they were there yet. And I was like, are they going to, how do you make up from this? You know, how do we make up from this situation? Maybe something's going to come of this. But no. And then I saw that they were there.
They're only in season 1 for like a second. Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's cool. But yeah. All right.
Yeah. So, okay. So now, one other thing I want to talk about here, and then we can just go into like crazy, like some of the other notes I have here, which is a lot. And it's just sort of like fast paced.
Yeah.
They hang all the rat catchers. Right. And I love how they continue to sort of showcase. And if you have to pay attention, because they never make a huge focus of it, mm-hmm. but it's always the small folk are always the ones paying the price. There is a price mm-hmm. paid by the small folk in almost every episode. You go back to like episode 1, right? When Damon's like, "All right, we're going to go clean up the streets," right? And they're just like literally running through the streets, like knocking people over, attacking people. Then of course, when Rhaenys comes out of the dragon pit, like how many innocent bystanders did she kill there?
Yep.
And then now they killed all the rat catchers. So like none of them had anything to do with it. And that is going to be a piece going forward, is that small folk reaction of the people who do cheer for Rhaenyra and the people who do think that Rhaenyra is the one who should be queen. And the people who are like, "But Aegon just, right? Like Aegon just hung all these people that may have had nothing to do with it." We see that lady. She's like, "My son."
Right.
Right. Right. Oh, exactly. And then the dog. And you saw that poor
dog.
Oh
my. Well,
The dog got kicked last week, and then
terrible.
And then this week, now the dog has no owner. I felt terrible for the dog.
And isn't that ridiculous? It's so ridiculous in this show that like we care about that dog. Cause I did too. I was like, "Oh man, poor dog." Then I'm like, "This is the dog to the rat catcher who went and murdered these kids, you know, this kid."
Well, it's not the dog's fault. Yeah.
No, it's not the dog's fault. That's the whole point. It's like, what? But yeah, I mean, it was so, that was shocking. And I love how they start the camera around the corner and you're mm-hmm. following a commotion. You're there with them and you're following, you don't know what's happening. And then slowly as the camera backs up, you're like, "Oh God, what is hanging? What are these, you know, people are hung here?" It was a, it was a brilliant way to bring the camera in and do that whole shot. I was like, dang.
Yeah, that was a sweet camera shot here. So some of the things I have, we got a little more Hugh the Hammer, right? He's going to be a player at some point going forward.
Right.
They're just kind of teasing him a little bit. Yeah, just setting him up. We don't have a lot on him yet, but he becomes a pretty important piece of the story. So let's see here. I have written down like 5 times Kristen Cole is unhinged.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dude,
like throughout the episode of my notes, I'm like, Kristen Cole is unhinged. Kristen Cole is unhinged.
Yeah,
Kristen Cole is unhinged. I'll talk a little bit about Masaria, right? She's like, I profit from inevitability, right?
Yep.
And I think it's kind of a cool way to keep her present. Jimmy and I talked about this last week. Thank God they toned her accent down because it was way too much in season one.
Oh, yeah.
And true. Now I'm actually like interested in the character. Because in season one, they really had that accent strong, and clearly they took a lot from it. Because now it's still there. And again, yeah, the actress is an amazing actress. Like, it's just it was over.
Right, it's the direction.
It was clearly a directorial choice. Yeah, and especially now that we can tell that now she feels so much more interesting as a character, and she's not quite like a Varys. Like, she has a web. She's not nearly as powerful as like a Varys or a Baelish, but she does have some influence.
Right. And like you were saying, she also brings that connection to the small folk, you know, and basically how she wasn't good enough for Otto Hightower, Daemon. And she's saying all this to Rhaenyra, who's sort of like, and I guess that we're going to, it is, I can assume from this episode that she went back and warned somebody. I mean, she saw the.
Right. And she says, wait a second.
Right. And so so I'm assuming she got back into Rhaenyra's good graces there. And that's just speculation. I mean, I think anybody can infer that. But she, and I think Rhaenyra was looking at her going, yeah, I understand you.
Right. Because then Sir Eric, I always get it mixed up.
Yeah.
Eric. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Clearly shows up. So that's sort of an off screen thing. Clearly she tells him. Yeah. And so that's kind of her way of like repaying Rhaenyra for setting her free.
She's great though, and I think it's interesting that it feels a little different, right, from the book and just in her arc and where she starts off in this high place, comes low, reestablishes her position, and then is brought low again, and here she is finding maybe being able to help Rhaenyra in this situation, and maybe she'll rise to another position of power I don't know. She's very interesting, and she does represent someone who, you know, in Game of Thrones, it was like Shay trying to work her way through. And she actually even said, she's like, maybe I should have just remained a whore. You know what I mean? Like, this is nothing has really come from all of these ambitious schemes that I have played here with Otto and with Daemon. But she's saying this to Rhaenyra, and it makes you go, Rhaenyra understands her as a woman. I kind of get you. Like, Rhaenys often will talk to Rhaenyra about what it's like to be a woman and ruling, and how, you know, it's the whole point is that Rhaenys represents the queen who was passed over, and now it's happening again to Rhaenyra, and Alicent's over here trying to do her thing. And she's also being overruled by Otto Hightower the whole time. And then Masaria represents the small folk all caught up in this, you know, just, So she's definitely, I'm interested to see where they go with her and what all her role's gonna be.
She's another character who's not super big in the books, and I almost felt like they were kind of reminding people as to who she was.
I know,
right? Like, when she has that little conversation, she's like, oh yeah, you were gonna marry Daemon and we were all there on the bridge. It's kind of like, I'm sure there's a lot of people who only watch the show like casually and, you know, aren't super
bugged. Yeah,
like,
yeah,
oh yeah, that's who she is. I'm sure there's a good amount of people watching tonight being like, that's who she is.
And that's important for them to do that. They do need to remind us of that. Right. But what was amazing is that the actress Emma Darcy, right? Who Yeah, she is literally, when she's watching her, you can see her. It's the focus is on Missaria and her talking and stuff. But if you watch the realization come over her face, you're like, this, the acting is off the charts, off the charts good. And I'm like, okay, you can just see that in her eyes. And I'm like, she's phenomenal. She's actually a phenomenal actress. And I just think, I hope she does win awards.
Yeah, Amador, she's amazing. I will be shocked if there is a award nominations going, you know, in that direction. So, yeah. Okay. So there was a couple other things I wanted to get on here. Oh, Amond.
Yeah.
I feel like we haven't gotten enough Amond this season. That's if I have to like sort of think about a criticism of a critique of the show so far, because I think both episodes have been so good. I would say Amond, the lack of sort of like a fallout or any sort of actual kind of blame towards Amond for perhaps kicking this whole thing off. Like I was really kind of waiting for that moment, right? I was really kind of waiting for a moment in which, somebody's like, well, we wouldn't even be in this position if you hadn't killed Luke. Right. Yeah. Whether it was going to be Otto Hightower or Allison or Aegon or even Kristen Cole, I'm sure we'll probably get that conversation at some point, but I just sort of felt like that would have been something we would have seen, at this point so far, and we didn't really get it.
Right. And it almost in a weird way, like the way that Otto and Allison are managing these children is sort of by allowing them to have their moments, be crowned or go do your thing. And then we're going to kind of corral them and come back later. So they almost don't seem to directly go in and say, hey, this is your fault and blah, blah, blah. But I think that will happen. Like you're saying, there's going to come a point where like that outburst of emotion has to kind of come out. Cause it seems like he was sort of insinuating that, well, we wouldn't be in this situation if it wasn't for, my mother crowning my stupid brother, and you're like,
right.
This is blame game. And it's just the blacks are dysfunctional, but the greens are like super dysfunctional. I mean,
right.
So
I'm curious when we'll get a little bit more of him and what the deal was. I mean, we did get sort of more, a little bit of insight to his actual character. There was a little bit of character development today, just that he's like being held like a baby by this lady at the brothel. Okay, we get a little bit more of his personality. He probably has some mommy issues because his mom probably didn't care about him, right? So there we go.
She cares more about Kristen Cole. Okay.
Clearly. Yes. All right.
Our grandkids are getting murdered. I mean, geez, come on.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. The whole deal with her and Kristen Cole. I mean, there was definitely moments in this where you could tell Allison is like feeling the weight of that thing, and then she, earlier at one point she said, and I have it written down here, the gods punish us, right? Like the gods are punishing us for what we did. Even though last time we said, hey, we can't do it.
Right.
And then at the end of the episode, the very end of the episode, Allison takes off her jewelry, right? Which she wears jewelry of the faith. There is Kristen Cole. And then she starts standing up for herself a little bit, slapping him. And then it turns into, all right, well, now we're just going to get it on. So now it's like Allison is also just unhinged because it's like this whole deal caused your grandson to not be protected and get killed, and you're still like slipping into it. So
yeah, it's so what's happening too, and we saw it in this episode, and it's huge moving forward, which is that those cooler heads that might have been prevailing and coming off of like King Viserys's reign and everything with Otto Hightower and stuff, he's freaking gone. And so daddy's gone, and now she is literally again already been sinning, already been in a bit of trouble, has her own issues with her own father and husband and how she was used, and then has propagated her issues down to her children. And then now she's sort of that out. She's just, relishing this moment where it would be nice for her if there wasn't a war going on and she could just hook up with the Kingsguard. You know what I mean? And if he wasn't getting a hothead thinking like, all right, I'm the queen's, guy, and I'm going to go out here and now be hand of the king and just be a hotshot. But there are no cool heads prevailing here whatsoever. And so, yeah, she is unhinged, and she is now the problem. And you, I hope most folks, I think people can see this, is that Larys Strong, right? I just, I, I'm sorry, but I wanted to say on this episode, the feet that were promised. I just had, I just wanted, I mean, he is going to have an issue. He seems to know, right?
He has to know. But I don't think, we talked about, Jimmy and I talked about this last week. I don't think Kristen Cole has any clue that Allison and Laris did the feet, did the feet thing, or do it on regular. Because I just don't see him being okay with that.
He'd kill him. I think he'd find a way to.
And, you know, another thing, Jimmy and I want to get your thought on this too. Because I don't think so. Was Allison hooking up with Kristen Cole before Viserys died? I don't think so.
No. I don't think she was. I don't think she was.
I think the second he died,
she
was, because this it feels new. That, like, that's, especially now that I've seen it in a second episode, it feels new. And
she's someone to, I think, you know, her position prior to Viserys, she's the queen. She is over the whole freaking kingdom, right? She is the queen, and so big deal. And I feel like she's got she's always felt. She criticizes Rhaenyra for this in season one, right? She's all over her, disgusted, can't believe it. Doesn't she actually know that Kristen Cole hooked up with Rhaenyra, or that Rhaenyra seduced him, essentially?
Well, she has to. So an interesting detail I saw, and I didn't really think about it. You know, it's one of those things like you don't see in the moment and you have to break down. And I saw a bunch of people post on Twitter, was that they were actually hooking up in Rhaenyra's old room. Like, if you look at the room and everything, and remember when Rhaenyra gave birth, Allison made her make that whole walk, right? That, remember the start of that episode?
Oh, yeah.
She literally gives birth and then, like, carries a baby seconds after giving birth this whole way up to Allison's room. Well, that's where Helaena is. And so Helaena now has to make that walk the entire way back. Yeah, it's like all the small details.
Wow.
It's insane. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's good. That is really freaking good. Okay.
But it's just like one of those things, like, in the moment, you're like, oh my God, because how's blood and cheese going down?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, because you're distracted by all the chaos there. What should have been more chaos, probably. I think I heard you guys say that last episode with blood and cheese. I thought they're...
It's still
fine, but...
Yeah, I mean... What did you think of it, by the way? Did you like it or dislike it?
Well, I mean, going into it, I have, and people now have seen it, so it's like it's fair for you guys to talk about it in terms of the book. When the book, it's like there's way more to it, and it was way more. Yeah. It felt like it was going to be super intense, it's the most graphic thing.
For me, I didn't want them to show it, and so we had a lot of comments, people saying like, you guys want to show it? Are you sick? I was like, no, I wanted for me, it was the choice that was taken out. I felt like the choice made it much more significant, though. I see the way they're trying to go, which is to, I think by having it be, by having it be about the choice, it sort of makes it even worse on Daemon. Cause now it's like this whole deal is like Daemon's mess up. And I can see now what they really wanted to do with the show is they said, like, they can use this as more leverage on the green side to show Allison's mistake, to show Aegon kicking Otto Hightower out, because the books are so Daemon Rhaenyra heavy that there's not a lot of context actually really on like the greens in scenes we would see like this. So I'm sure that was a decision they made. And I'm sure they were like, if we actually remove the decision point of blood and cheese, it allows us to make the mistake of Kristen Cole and Alicent to be that much more significant. And that was actually kind of the theme of the whole episode today.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. It's the sins of that, you know, moment. Right. Because had Allison have been there and been kidnapped or whatever, well, she's not hooking up with Sir Kristen Cole, and the sins don't really kind of whole moment seems to now drive all these major decisions.
Yeah. Because the Cargill thing now isn't just a mess up by the Greens and saying, hey, let's just go try and kill Rhaenyra. Now it's Kristen Cole trying to fix his mistakes and being like, I'm the Lord Commander. I'm innocent, right? Like, I'm all about the way we do things as Lord Commander. Are you not listening to your king? So now the Cargill thing is actually kind of more on Kristen Cole's mess up of blood and cheese rather than just trying to, you know, use it as a political piece. So I see now that we've had a week, right, their vision for removing that choice of blood and cheese. And I'm actually going to, I mean, it's hard to say because it's still just like, so, I think like if you just like, if you read the two things side by side, you're like, I think this one's better.
Yeah.
But I see now that they needed that shift away from it to make it more on Allison and Kristen Cole to mm-hmm. give them more context to play with the fact that they just don't have a lot of information in the books about the Greens.
Right. Yeah. No, that's a really good point, because there it's all about how their sin, that she even says to her father at the end, I have sinned, and she's super guilty. She's guilty before this episode. She's feeling bad. And yeah, what is that sort of costing her? You know, the other thing, the crazy thing, sin's been going on since the crowning. I mean, since like Lord Beesbury is freaking hit and
right.
killed. Yeah. And like, and now you're getting into also in the lore, what's sort of a big deal is the kinslaying that's happening yeah. too. And also sending somebody to go to a situation where he will kill his brother. And then also just the fact that these families are warring and it's all sin, right? It's all really looks right. bad. And that's where later on to foreshadow to Game of Thrones, where you've got issues with the royals and the sins that they commit yeah. and the small folk and the religious orders, right? Right?
I mean, yeah, that's like one of the big theories, right, about Theon's whole demise, right? Remember Theon in the books, there's much more context about those two kids he kills,
right?
That he burns when he takes over Winterfell, that one of those might actually be his son, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And that's a big deal, is that might actually cause Theon's path to go down the path that it does, is actually he may be a kinslayer.
Because yeah, kinslaying is I mean it's
that's
more
what,
than
that's,
a sin. It's
that's what causes Tyrion's, you know. Right. I mean, after Tyrion kills his dad, he gets kicked over to Essos and he goes on to a much, you know, different journey.
Right, right. Yeah. So this is really, yeah, when you think about in terms of this war that's going on, all of the kinslaying that's happening, it curses the whole family, it curses everyone, and it's sort of this is, as people know, the downfall sort of House Targaryen. I mean, it's not gonna go well, but
right. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, it's so I got it pulled up here on the side, and I have the episode playing here, and I just it caught my attention when they have the moment between Sir Criston Cole and Otto Hightower, and we're watching it, and like, you know, something's about to happen. He's scolding them. How dare you? This is stupid. He sent Sir Eric on the mission or whatever, and you know it's going to happen. And he's Aegon is like telling him, take it off. Take, you know, you're no longer hand. You were my father's hand. It's over. And as an audience, just as a viewer, as you're watching this, you want him to lash out. You want to see some emotion. And it's the only emotion you really get from Otto Hightower. When you get this outburst, he goes crazy. Because earlier I said, you don't really get that. We don't really see it. And I'm
right. Because he's normally pretty even keel.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we've been looking for, okay, your family is being killed or these tragedies are happening and there's no remorse, no nothing. But when the realm is out of order or the pieces on the chessboard are messed up, he's pissed and he goes crazy. And you so wanted to just watch him take off the badge and throw it. You wanted him to, I wanted him to, and he did. And it was so satisfying to see him just chuck it and say, screw it. You guys just go ruin this thing, because he's so disgusted. Because he was saying, walk it over and hand it to him. Like, because Aegon's trying to be kind of a jerk and say, no, walk it over, hand it to him.
Yeah.
You know, follow my orders. And it's like, no, boom, tosses it. And it's just what you want to see happen as a watcher. And it's just great. It's, I don't know. Every decision that they make in this, I'm just sort of like, wow, this is great freaking TV, you know?
Yeah. So, all right. I want to pull up some Twitter reactions here, and somebody posted, this is a meme, and it's just unreal, because this is literally what we were saying earlier. Is this is what I thought was going to happen, man?
I thought the heads were rolling,
dude. Me too. They get stuck in the mud, and I'm like, oh god, this is a good. I was like, if that head rolls, top comment. Could you imagine if he did and his head rolled off?
Dude, it's crazy. Like, I was like, you start sweating, because in the moment I'm like, okay, it's gonna happen. They're gonna do it. They're sure they're gonna do it. And thankfully they did not, because I couldn't believe they showed that too, because they talked about
the stitches. Ooh.
That, well, and also just the language that, like, when they tell Aegon, hey, we found this guy, you know, blood, right? One of the gold cloaks, and he had a sack with your son's head. And this show, man, it just it's in to hear that line, you're like, oh man, oh my god, dude, go get it, go bring this guy up here, like let Aegon go down there in the cell. I mean, it sounds terrible. It's just this show is
wild. It's good. All right. So this is Westeros season, which was like one of the bigger Twitter Game of Thrones, Song of Ice and Fire Twitters. And it asked people what they thought of the episode so far. So one of the best episodes in the entire series. Great until the end with Cole and Allison. No need for that. Oh, thought they ruined the ending. Did Eric really have to kill himself after saving the queen and being a hero? Yes. I kind of think so. Yes. Especially because when they're fighting, he's like, "You're my brother. I love you." Like, you know,
he's a kinslayer.
You're my brother, Anakin. You know, like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's no going on. I couldn't believe he did it, but I was also like, no, sure. It's done.
Yeah. It was another expository episode that slightly advanced the plot slightly forward. Overall, these first two episodes have not been as good as any of the episodes from season one. Ooh, I did totally describe that.
No, however.
I expect the next episodes to be action packed. Twins are very weird people. Fantastic. Where's the priest of the Brotherhood without banners when you need one?
Oh my God. Bring him back, man.
Bring him back, man. Fantastic. Geez. Yeah, the entire scene where Aegon fires Otto has to be the funniest effing acting of all time. The directors told Rhys Ifrin to cook, and he did. He even did the eyebrow raise. Yeah, he does do that.
Yeah.
What's with this Kristen and Allison love making scenes to end the show every time? Give it a break. Jeez. I did see that, what's her name? Olivia Cooke tweeted and said that they actually cut she described it as an animalistic scene between the two that, all right, didn't make it into the episode that they filmed.
Holy.
It's like, Jesus.
Oh my.
Some of the most superb acting I've seen in a Game of Thrones show, the Rhaenyra and Daemon argument, and also Aegon firing Otto. Wow. Amazing to watch. First time I've agreed with Otto, and I don't like it. Yeah, they treated the aftermath of Blood and Cheese way better than the actual event itself. So
right.
Yeah, I mean it seems pretty much I want crispy Cole gone, Dracarys. Yeah, so it seems like everyone's really liking it. I'll post another poll on our YouTube. I did one last week, and everyone's kind of agreed with Jimmy and I saying it was about 4 out of 5 stars. I'm pretty sure that's you only get 5 little rankings on that YouTube thing, so right. I'm sure it'll
it's going to be high, though, don't you think? I feel like, you know, you get your little sampling there, but I feel like it's going to be pretty, pretty well received because this episode, one, it's longer. You have the huge argument. You've got also little building blocks, right, for the stuff.
You get brother versus brother. And remember, so this is something that was teased last week. Actually, if you go back and look, Helena, right, in her drawings and stuff like that, so there is a drawing where it says the goose kills its reflection, which is the brother's house sigil and everything.
Just real quick to talk about Helena real quick, and we can maybe sometime when you and Jimmy have time, there's so much stuff that, and I don't want to say anything that's spoiler or whatever, but there are things that you could talk about in terms of Helena. She's huge, and in terms of her arc, and there's mysteries. I would love to talk to you guys at some point about what I think they might do with that character when you put it, spoiler, put it.
We can do a follow-up Friday. Yeah, absolutely.
Dude, I'm telling you, and Marcus, because I think I know what they're going to do with her character and not just based on what the book, be like, well, yeah, obviously what's happening in the book. No, I'm talking about big connections. If you look at the drawings and what she's knitting.
Yeah, somebody had a drawing of a guy, of a soldier with a wolf's head on it. And people were saying, oh, that was that's Robb Stark. But real quick on Helena, by the way, and Jimmy and I talked about it a little bit last week in Fallout Friday. And I'm sure, we'll talk again about it is, man, you know, as you and I have done millions of episodes on Blood Raven and the difference between green dreams and dragon dreams, because it's always been like the people who green dream, right? Like Bran is kind of almost a different story, but like Jojen and some of these other people, like they call dragon dreams, are those just like Targaryens that have green dreams, but they think it's a little more powerful or something like that? But it's always felt like actually all the other Targaryens who have dreams, essentially, their dreams, other than like Dany and Jon, right?
Yeah.
Like when you go out throughout the histories, it always feels like those dreams, like even Darren, right, and doing Duncan Egg, which we'll see early next year. We're getting Duncan Egg next year. Insane.
That's so awesome.
It's awesome. Right. Like, even he's somebody who we see who has these dreams, but they're always like really vague. Right.
Right. Right. Right.
Helaena Targaryen might be the best dreamer other than like Bloodraven, because everything she says is coming true left and right. And like, nobody is listening, and everybody should be listening to her.
Yeah, they should be. And did you know, I saw, I was thinking about that. When the rat catcher is in there and they're, he's talking to her and she's like points to the child, right? And she's telling the truth. The only person who actually can see the truth in her eye. Did you see the connection? Go back and watch
the rat catcher. It's an insane scene.
He looks at her and he's like, he makes his eye contact, almost like he goes kind of dreamy, the actor, like, oh, she's telling the truth. Like, something really caught him off guard about her. And her family is all caught up in their Game of Thrones and all these different things. And there's, we know there's the
even Aegon last week was like, what are you talking about?
Exactly. Exactly. No one's listening to her, but everyone should be. And they should be watching what she's drawing. They should be watching what she's what's it called? Whatever she's doing. Embroidery. Right. Is that what it is? Yeah. Where she's doing it. I mean, I'll just go ahead. One of the things I want to talk to you guys about is it's from season one. It's the spider that she was, the embroidery of the spider that she was doing. And so it's stuff like that's nuts. Here's one more thing too. The intro. I didn't know this. I saw, cause I was also scrolling through social media. Someone highlighted the glass candles on the freaking tapestry.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Yeah.
Dude, I was like, what? Also another one that blew
Marwyn my mind. Marwyn
the Mage, dude. Like, they are literally making those. So the glass candles must be somewhere right now during this time. They're who has them, right?
Correct.
Where are they? And so that's an interesting one. The other one, the connection to lore and connection to Game of Thrones, it's hard to tell. And I don't know. You and Jimmy can look at it and see what you think. But it looks like there's a moment where there's a guy plunging a dagger, which could be the cat's paw dagger, into a woman who is collecting blood. And some people are saying that is Nyssa. And the forging of Lightbringer. I was like, you're kidding me. That's on the tapestry. Like, this show is packed with Easter eggs. They have done their freaking homework. The creator is involved in this, man. I mean, George is in this. It is so freaking sick. I got the fight on, by the way, too, with the twins right now. And it's so tragic. It's freaking sad.
It's insane. It's insane. Ryan Condell, you can tell. I mean, there's definitely a big, like, Dan and Dave, I will always give credit, because obviously, like, Game of Thrones didn't turn into the greatest show, you know, the biggest show in the history of television, without people who were able to adapt source material very well.
Yeah.
Once they ran out of source material is when things started falling out. Does that excuse them for making, you know, decisions that literally like a 5-year-old could have made better? No.
No.
But clearly, like, they were good at that. Ryan Condell is totally different. He's clearly all in on the books. And I mean, like, the attention to detail and everything they're doing with this show, it's just,
it's really great. Good. Yeah.
I love
it, dude.
Whew. All right, man. That was a whirlwind.
Yeah, it was, because I mean, coming out of that, it was a whirlwind of an episode. The one Twitter thing that I just have to say, you're reading somebody who said, you know, kind of feeling kind of slow. It's like, dude, you just got Kingsguard. Like, when we talk about the greatest swordsmen in the kingdom, two of them just died tonight. They just died tonight. Those dudes were lethal. And I just thought, that's a great freaking scene. It's sad. I think we got some really good, probably some of the best stuff we've ever gotten in Game of Thrones in episode two. So I was. If it's better after this, I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting at like a 4.5 out of 5 stars. I mean, that's easy for me as where I'd rank this. So
yeah.
Woo! All right. Ez, where can people find you on the internet nowadays, my friend?
Hey, you can still find old Ez at womprat_2m. All right. So you can still find me over there. I got a like link tree over to different projects. So Yoda Stew, Matt, I just had Matt on last week. By the way. If you don't mind me saying, I want to say the text I sent you earlier. If Disney or anyone any other product wants a lesson on how to put in some good themes, some morals, some lessons, some societal conversation pieces here with two strong freaking women leading the way, go hit up HBO for crying out loud. It's phenomenal. So I'm still doing my Star Wars thing over at Yoda's doing. We were talking about Acolyte episode 3.
Last week. That was the polar opposite of quality.
It's abysmal. I've had way more fun going on here. And it's like, oh, this is easy because there's so many good things to say. Jeez. But yeah, so it's Yoda Stew 77. check me out there. And then Lottie and I are still doing Shell Cottage Radio, Harry Potter stuff, working our way through that. But that's where you can find me. And then I'm telling you, I'm not trying to put Matt on the spot, but I mean, those follow up Fridays, y'all, I got
We'll get you. We'll schedule one out here. We'll get you on one. Woo. Yeah. Oh, man.
Thanks, awesome. Man. This is awesome, though. This is great.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, guys, with that, I want to thank you for playing the Game of Thrones. Our next episode will be House of the Dragon, Season 2, Episode 3. If you like the podcast, be sure to give us a review on iTunes or send us a raven at btkcast@gmail.com or bendtheknee.podcast.com so we can get those theories and thoughts up and your guys' reactions and reviews on Follow-Up Friday. Jimmy and I typically record, we recorded that last week on Thursday. You know, it's typically Wednesday or Thursday when we're going to record it. So you can send us an email or whatever, and we will read your theory and kind of, you know, speculate on it or whatever, just what you thought of the episode. So be sure to get those sent over. So with that, as always, thank you guys for watching. Thank you for listening. And remember that winter is coming.